Happy New Year, everyone.
Skulled.
Hey, it's Full House.
Happy New Year.
Could Buffalo Bill get it?
Buffalo Bill could get it.
Buffalo Bill could get it. I am on record.
Oh, yeah.
Bridget is on record.
Hey guys, this is Bridget.
And this is Will.
And this is Mary.
Welcome to...
No Stupid!
Oh, hi Mark. Happy New Year.
Oh, hi Mark.
How's your year been?
I can't talk about it.
It's financial. It's a financial year. It's confidential.
Got to come home to Cheyenne.
Oh yeah, I have to say, John and Beth are here in our recording.
Hello.
Hello.
Remember Beth from...
Johnny
Tsunami.
No,
the haunted
Johnny
mask.
Tsunami.
Yeah, Goosebumps.
I wish it was Johnny Tsunami. You guys kicked me out of that one.
We didn't.
Too much explicit.
You can come for the sequel.
I'd love to.
Johnny Tsunami.
Hold on.
That's what they should have called it. Yeah, it's called Johnny Tsunami or Johnny Kapahala back on board.
Anyway.
What'd you do for New Year's, Mary?
I sat alone in my room and ate McDonald's like I do every night. What are you talking about? It was great. What'd you guys do?
So yeah, so this week we are watching The Room. Starting off the new year was one of the best, worst movies made ever.
Beth and I tried to explain the plot of this movie to her family, and they all glazed over.
I think I did a good job.
Retell it. Tell me how you told them.
Yeah.
Give me a synopsis.
You have to understand, I'm explaining it to people who don't care. So this is the explanation for people who absolutely don't care. It's about a guy whose girlfriend is leaving him.
It's his future wife.
That's it. Yes. Oh, fiance. Some people.
No, he does not. He does not, though. He specifically says future husband and future wife. That word doesn't exist in his vocabulary. It's not a thing.
Well, he's not there on his learning English.
Learning English, but isn't that a French word?
His deceptive future wife, Lisa.
Oh, she is the deceiver in this film.
That is my ideal job title. Deceptive future wife.
I think I guess at least pull in like 70 a year doing that.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, she's making bank, obviously.
So you want to be a sugar baby.
Well, you know, she gets them dresses and them nice flowers.
Yeah, but then she has to, like, look at him naked, so I guess, I mean, that's labor in and of itself.
As a sugar baby, you're gonna have to see people you don't want to see naked.
Maybe you like your
sugar
daddy.
I guess we've all seen people we didn't want to see naked.
Like who, Bridget?
I mean...
Who have you seen naked that you didn't
want to? As an RA, I saw a couple of people I did not want to see naked. No, they were wrestlers and one football player. Pretty surprised when I knocked on the bathroom door and said, RA... And he didn't say anything, and I opened up, and he's just standing there holding his towel like that.
I still call that he was planning on being caught. He's like, he's been standing for an hour, and he just waited so he could do the drop the towel and go, oops.
RAs are coming any minute, and I'm going to be ready.
All I'm seeing in my head is that scene from Silence of the Lambs.
He's just like, yeah. Goodbye, Lord.
Yeah.
Would you fuck me?
I'd fuck me so hard.
Because he does that with his like little caftan moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could Buffalo Bill get it? Buffalo Bill could get it. I am on record.
Oh yeah,
Bridget is on record.
Okay, no, scratch that from the record because Buffalo Bill could still not get it. The actor as a golf dad could probably get it.
Take all this out. This can't end in the final cut of this episode.
Will's gonna come in and be like, so, how is everybody's New Year?
Actually, you know what? The only part of that conversation that can make it in is the part where Bridget says that the Buffalo Goat could get it.
How's your New Year? Buffalo Bill can get it. All right. Great.
At the very opening of the episode.
Bridget, what do you want for Christmas? Buffalo Bill could get it. Anyway, some clever editing ahead.
God.
Agreed.
So the Room budget was $6 million.
And no one knows where that money went.
Leather jackets.
And they made only $1,800 initially.
More than that now.
Probably more than that now, yeah, for sure. It was directed by, produced by, written by, starring.
Who executive produced it?
Uh,
Thomas Wiseau.
Thomas, his twin, Thomas.
I think it's like two people who don't exist.
Oh, yeah, like Chloe something, right? Yeah. That's debatable if that's a real person.
It's literally two people who like don't exist or had nothing to do with the film.
Distributed by Chloe Productions and TPW Films. But yeah, so Mary, do you have any other fun facts to share?
Oh, I have a lot of fun facts. Yeah, there's just so many things that happened with the movie. It's just the whole making of the movie is like a big fun fact. The book Greg Sestero wrote is a big fun fact, essentially. The whole book? Okay. All right, let me pull it up. Give me one.
No.
Okay, so the book's called The Disaster Artist. So it's his experience making The Room and like meeting Tommy. And so that was made into a movie by the Franco brothers called The Disaster Artist, which also starred them. So the Disaster Artist, the movie, is based on The Disaster Artist, the book, which is based on Greg Sestero's experience making The Room, if that makes sense. And the book's actually really interesting. I listened to it on Audible when I was at work. And it's actually pretty great if you really like The Room.
Does Greg Sestero?
Yeah, he's the narrator, and he does really great impressions also of Tommy. Yeah, it's really funny. And, you know, the Disaster Artist, the movie was only, you know, an hour and a half. They can only put in so much. So they left out a lot, and it's pretty interesting, like all the in-depth stuff that Greg talks about with Tommy and his meeting him and how odd it was. They were totally best friends and right off the bat, and nothing ever went wrong. It wasn't really awkward at all. And then like Greg's book also, in the movie, it's different, the Disaster Artist movie, but he talks about how the high turnover rate on the making of The Room, like it went through like three film crews. Because people could not deal with Tommy and like the script and like the shooting conditions, and everybody was really confused. So it went through a lot of crew members and directors and actors. So that's really interesting. So Tommy Wiseau has this money. He sold leather jackets and like yo-yos and stuff to, there's this whole like, he owned real estate in San Francisco, and they talk about like shooting locations, how they use green screen, very obvious green screen for like the rooftop, and they use like a set for the alley. But they could have just shot the scenes on top of one of the buildings, you know, Tommy owned, you know, there's the San Francisco skyline. There it is in real life. You don't have to CGI it in, go to an alley. You don't have to make a set for it. So it just kind of goes into Tommy's thinking of why it has to be this way, which is really kind of interesting. That's how real Hollywood movies are made. CGI, and it's on sets. You don't go outside for anything. But it's a really good listen. And it's really easy to listen to because Greg is pretty funny. So I recommend that also, just to get a free 2-week Audible subscription and then get this as one of your books and then listen to it. You don't even have to pay for it that way.
So would you suggest watching The Room first or The Disaster?
The Room, because you won't understand The Disaster Artist in the way that that makes sense, because then you'll be like, oh, it's just like this weird movie, what is it? It's like, no, you need to know the context of what this movie is. Actually, fun fact about the doggy thing, thought the dog was fake because it would just sit there and not move. So it took a really long time. It took like a couple takes, like a while for him to realize the dog was alive and not a fake dog. So there's your fun fact.
did that upset him? Was he like,
well, I don't want a real dog on set.
Get me a fake dog, a green screen dog.
CGI dog like now. Dog. I think he was happy about the dog.
I don't think any of his reactions are predictable. So it's impossible to know like what he's going to do given any kind of stimulus.
Lisa, that actress got that part because she was one of the only actresses that would kiss Tommy like on screen. It's like, will you? They just show a picture of Tommy. It's like, would you be willing to kiss this man for a movie? Yes, you're hired. Great.
They went through a number of actresses. So I thought that the actress who plays her best friend who comes over was supposed to be.
She was like, I'm not kissing you. It's like, okay, well, you get to be Michelle then.
So do you know, like, so this had a big budget. Were the actors paid? Okay. Because it, I mean, obviously the money didn't go to.
I think the vibe of it was very much like this is like a lower budget type film. Like it had the $6 million, but that's still not all that much. And then all of these actors were basically just like trying to like break into it. So they all needed like screen time of them talking in order to audition for bigger roles. So this was the way that they could get that. So I can totally understand where the actress who played Lisa was coming from, because basically she needed a movie where she could use that to audition.
And then this movie scared her away from the acting industry. Yeah. I was like, you know what?
I'm just going to go do real estate. That sounds easier.
I mean, if you have to writhe around on Tommy Wiseau to get it.
So, John, since you introduced all of us to the room, do you want to lead us through the magical journey of it?
Oh, Christ. Okay, so Bridget told me about this 2 hours before we started. She said that we were going to do it at some point.
At some point in 4 hours in the future.
Bridget sends me a text that says, hey, we're going to record in 2 hours. So, let's get started. First of all, what
so
city
your
does
New Year's,
this...
everyone?
So how's your sex life, everyone? okay, anyway, so what city does this take place in? Does anybody
San
know?
San Fran.
How would you know that?
It only shows it like 20 times in the movie.
Yeah, so like the first 8 minutes of this movie is literally just establishing shots of San Francisco, and they just go on and on and on, and it's like literally
it's the Full House credits, but like extended to 8 minutes.
Yeah, no, it literally is. There's the Full House shot. It's that shot. There's the Golden Gate Bridge. There's fucking trolleys. There's that like art complex or whatever it is. It's like an opera type thing.
You know, and I think when they show the park, you see the house having that picnic.
Oh, also, actually, real fast too. Incredible. That reminds me. So this looks like it was filmed in the 90s, like the early 90s. So it could have been Full House, but it was actually filmed in 2004. Believe it or not.
Yeah. So there's a really magical quality about all of these shots that it just looks like a made-for-TV movie or something, or like it is TV, or like 90s TV. And part of the reason why is because it was shot
at the same time. Like they rigged the cameras like on the same rig. They just like taped them together and they just rolled. And then Tommy was like, "Which one do you think looks better?"
So like some of these scenes are shot in film, and some of them shot are. On
it does.
So you might think this is a 90s movie. It's not. First actual scene is Tommy coming home to Lisa, and Tommy is almost indescribable. Like he's got this long greasy hair, these like really baggy clothing. He just looks like a hobo from East Europe.
Yes.
And then we see Lisa, who shows Lisa to be this like bombshell that everybody wants sexually, but she's just sort of like fine looking, and like no dig against her, she's a lovely person. But,
it's that average looking people want to live, okay? She's living the dream, okay? All these people are lusting after her, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like I've got this great life. Someone just bought me a car. That sounds awesome. I want someone to buy me a car.
He's a creative genius, Bridget. How many movies
True.
Have you made?
He's made at least actually, at least three.
He made like three. So he comes home to Lisa, who is looking fine, and he has like a dress present for her. He just like comes home randomly with these things for her. And it's like a nice red dress. And he's just like, why don't you go upstairs and put it on? And Lisa's just like, okay. And their
adopted son, who's 30.
Adopted son? Yeah, who is played by a 30-year-old. And it's really unclear. So, like, the actor is too old to really be playing a child. But he's playing the role really young. So it comes off that he's got, like, a cognitive disability, which is unfortunate. So you're not really sure, like, is he
supposed to? So I just read down here on one of the comments, where is it?
Well, I think Tommy meant for, like, when he was writing the script, meant for him to have one, but he didn't tell the actor, right?
Yeah, it says... The character Daniel is supposed to be mentally handicapped, but never told his actor that. So he just tries to stay as normal as possible.
Tommy and Lisa are like getting at it. Like she's getting it. And then Denny like sneaks in the front door, goes upstairs, and he sees them getting it. And he's just like, but I like to watch. And then Tommy's just like, no, you have to get out of here, Denny.
Beat it.
Denny's a real pervert. Like, because he comes in and then it's like, we're going to go upstairs and bang. And then he's like, all right. And then he goes and follows them. And then he like jumps on their bed and they have like a pillow fight. And then he says like something like, I just like to watch you guys. That's literally what he says in the movie. What the fuck is wrong? Who says that?
It's really gross.
Well, I mean, you know, it gets you in the mood to have some sex with Tommy Wiseau. A pillow fight.
Yeah, pillow fight.
Like a pillow fight.
Oh, yeah. They all like.
And it's hot.
They like romp around with pillows and they're just like, oh, ho, Denny, you so funny.
Oh, where's that finger going?
Oh, oh. This thing is just like weird and their roles are all strange. So, anyways,
it's like they let the whole song play that's playing. So, it's essentially like a free music video for whoever wrote this song.
Yeah, so there's a whole song playing underneath it. And by the way, if you haven't listened to any of these songs, you really need to YouTube them. They're really funny. Anyway, so we then proceed to see Tommy Wiseau naked for about 4 minutes, and it's about exactly what you'd expect. Although he's surprisingly buff.
Yeah, he's fit.
He's like old like, man buff.
In a Madonna way, though, right?
Yeah. Like there's muscles, but the skin doesn't have enough elasticity anymore to really hold on to him. Yeah. So it kind of sags.
It's strange. Anyway, so just imagine seeing Madonna naked, and that's Tommy Wiseau. Yeah, so anyway, so they have sex for 4 minutes, and there's a really good song, and it's also revolting.
Because Tommy is thrusting, basically, in her belly button.
Oh, yeah. So their positioning is, like, all wrong, right? So it looks like he's, like...
It's funny, because they, like, when they make the disaster artist, like, the movie, when they're filming this scene, they reference that. Like, hey, I think you're a little high. He's like, I am where I am, okay? Just let me do it.
It is really funny.
Ah, yes.
Like, shenanigans with roses during it, or wait, is this later?
No, it's then.
Yeah, so he's, like, putting this rose, like, in her face.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, putting, like, petals all around her, and you're just like, that's not how, I don't know, would you want somebody to put a flower in your face when you're, like, getting at it, you know?
Stab.
You smell this flower.
You like it?
I got it from this special garden. Do you like it? This is better quality than the other one I got you. Smell it again. I think it's a little much, you know, a little bit's okay, but but
it's really unfortunate that it was filmed for posterity and no one will ever probably let her forget it.
She's just selling someone a house in Tucson. They're like, aren't you the woman who got her belly button fucked by Tommy Wiseau?
Like, just imagine if, like, the most embarrassing person you've ever had sex with videotaped it and then proceeded to, like, make money off of it.
Make it a cult classic.
Yeah, exactly. Poor Lisa. Anyway, so next scene is when she's talking to... Oh, sorry, we introduce the character of Mark, who is played by Greg Sestero, who wrote The Disaster Artist. He was really good friends with Tommy Wiseau before production, and originally he was just supposed to be, like, a crewman. But the actor who played Mark was fired, so Greg Sestero had to fill in for him. Anyway, so that's his backstory. So Lisa obviously has a giant boner for him, and she's calling him up.
Oh, isn't there like a conspiracy too that he's like an undercover agent? Because when she calls him, he's like in his car wearing shades, like, hey, I'm busy. I'm very busy right now.
So yeah. He's in his car. Yeah, so he's in his car, and he's just like, what is it, Lisa? I'm very busy. And he's just sitting in his car in the middle of traffic. Which is totally something I do to get out of the
house. Very busy. Should I get a number 4 or number 6?
I'm right in the middle of something.
2, the Coke. As I said, very
make that a
busy.
Large. Yep.
Yeah.
Supersize me, please.
Also, Lisa walks around in like all these dresses to literally...
It's because she never... Tommy doesn't let her leave.
I never see her outside the house.
She's confined. She's like chained to the house. It's like, if you leave, I'll know.
But he brings her all these clubbing dresses, and he's like, won't this be nice for the kitchen?
Well, you know, she's supposed to be working. I mean, the computer business is really competitive now. So.
The general computer business. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so she's on the phone with Mark, and she's like leaving a slug trail all over her house in a cocktail dress. And Mark agrees to come over to her place later, after which Lisa's mom shows up.
Claudette.
And Lisa's mom is, I love Claudette. She's my, I am Claudette. Claudette is obviously like a heartless gold digger. And that is
See, great. It's not Lisa's so fault she's baby. Like that. Claudette raised her, okay? This one is like her coming over and it's like, hey, what's wrong? Coming in to check on you for 30 seconds and then I have to go. And then Lisa, I think, She tells her, like, I don't love Johnny anymore. Like, I'm unhappy. And she's like, but he's got money. Okay. He bought you a car. You can't just leave him. Suck it up. Anyway, bye. So that's kind of the gist of the conversation. I feel like it's like Lisa's like, I'm unhappy. And her mom's like, get over it. Okay. He's got money. He works as a bank teller or something. He's going to get a promotion. Who knows what his job is? He wears baggy suits to work that are not fitted right for him. I don't know.
Yeah, that's also true.
If you look really closely at Tommy's outfits, you'll notice that all of his pockets are...
He's got snacks in them.
That's just something that... Yeah, the real Tommy Wiseau apparently never went anywhere without, like, literally everything that he carried, like, in his pockets.
There are photos of, like, silverware and stuff in all of the picture frames because they didn't change out the photos. And someone did bring it up to Tommy, like, we should put pictures of people in them, maybe? And it was like, no, don't do that. And so they just kept it in. So it's fun to kind of spot where those are, because these scenes, while they're in the apartment, you see them all the time. This is usually what, this is one of the drinking game rules. It's like, if you see spoons or something, you know, you have to drink. And I think too, at the, like the screenings and stuff, people yell out spoons, and then they throw plastic spoons and stuff whenever they see them.
So Mark actually shows up, and then Lisa again is with the snail trail. Like, she's just like, here, come here.
Come here, you.
Another 5 minute scene.
Mm-hmm.
Sit on my stairwell.
Yeah.
I like a man with almost a beard.
No, he's got a beard.
It could use a little filling out.
It's fine. It's fine. I think he was like 20. Anyway.
This was us the other night, Beth. Remember?
So Mark shows up and he's like playing dumb with what Lisa is like laying down, right? And
yeah. Lisa really is just, like, as soon as he, like, walks in through, she like pours him wine and she's like, it's hot in here, do you mind if I take this off? And he's like, mm-mm. And then she's like, oh, look what happened, I dropped my dress.
Are we doing this?
And then he's like, oh no, what why did you do that? No. Let's have sex on the stairs.
Do they actually have sex?
I think it's like implied that they have sex. Like,
well, they never take off.
They just take it out. They just leave the pants on.
Dress afterwards, so.
Okay, but like, have you ever made out with somebody and you had to adjust your clothing afterwards, even if you didn't take?
I think they have stair sex.
Because this was like Greg's, like, was this his, like, one of his first, like, on camera type things? And it was like, you have to do the sex scene now. Maybe it was like more like, we'll get you used to it, so you're a sex scene later. He's full on. Well, I think he leaves his pants on that one too, actually. He just likes to leave his pants on for sex.
I mean, I guess he could, like, I don't know. There could be...
You just unbutton and then unzip and then there you go. It's all the access Lisa needs.
I don't think they even went that far.
It's easier as a man to do that.
Just whip it out.
Whip it out.
Is that how straight?
Yes. They whip it out. I think it's implied that it was whipped out. And then they
wow, amazing. Is that not how gay sex?
They just whip it out. Just getting whipped out everywhere. Like right before and right after. Throughout this whole movie, everybody talks about how Johnny's like really good guy and he's really sensitive and they can't hurt him and he's my best friend, but then they do all these things and it's like, how could you do this to me? And it's like, you're like an adult with your own will and you're responsible for your actions. It's like, I can't do this, but let's have sex. Oh, we shouldn't do it anymore, but we're gonna do it again. I think it's just funny that they're like, he's my best friend, but then they continue to do it. Oh, I don't doubt that it is. There's three sex scenes within the first 30 minutes of this movie, everybody, just listening. And they're really long. They're like 2 to 4 minutes long each.
They have to let the song play through in its entirety because by God, they bought the rest of it.
One of the best scenes, there's a dog in it. He goes to this flower shop and the dialogue makes no sense because he walks in and it's like, I'd like a dozen red roses, please. And it's like, oh, I didn't see it was you. You're my favorite customer. And then he's peacing out. And then there's that dog that looks like it's not alive, apparently. But then he's like, oh, hi, doggy. And then he gives it a little pat. And then he leaves. Oh, hi, doggy is one of the best lines ever written.
I don't know. My favorite line of that scene is when she's like, oh, I didn't see it was
you. How could you mistake it for someone else? You could possibly not know. Oh, I did not see it was you.
It's like somebody that's like 5 sizes too big with like stringy black.
I thought you were that other customer with ill-fitted suits coming in to buy roses. My bad.
Like, yeah, that's a good point. He would look, like, I think his attractive-wise, he would look better if his...
Like, tailored.
Better fitting. You know, he would look more, yeah, look more presentable, at least. And maybe get, like, a haircut. Not, like, I'm not saying you have to cut it all off. No. Like, take off the split ends.
There's absolutely no way this man could be any more attractive.
He should have done the man bun thing. Yeah. See?
Yeah.
Impossible.
Man bun more fun.
Yeah, so he's like buying all these things for Lisa, and it's obvious that we're establishing that Tommy's
he's the best person ever. Because everybody says so.
Okay. Exactly.
He's my best friend.
So he comes home with these big things of flowers. And by the way, I wouldn't want flowers from somebody. Like, where am I going to put them? Come on.
Yeah. I can't eat this.
Anyway. Well, you can't give her another cocktail dress she can't go outside in.
I don't know. I prefer a cocktail
dress. I would like someone to bring me a pie. Because you can eat it. You can enjoy it.
That would be even better.
That is better.
That would be much better.
No, not that kind of pie. I don't want Santa's pie. Joanna Wanda Johnson wants that.
Johnny comes home with these roses, and he's just like, hey, princess.
Yes. Gross. Because he didn't get the promotion, right?
And it's clear. That's right. So he comes in, and he's like complaining about work, and he's just like, I think they're stringing me along, or something like that. He's like, I'm never going to get it. They lied to me.
They're treating me like Taco Bell Delights.
The Cinnabon Delights.
Cinnabon Delights.
Literally the worst things on earth. Next to Tommy Wiseau. Okay, so anyway, so he's complaining about work, and then Lisa, who just had sex with Mark, is just like, here, drink this scotchka. She mixes whiskey with vodka.
And then... And
she says it's good for
you. Yeah. And then she's like, you want to order pizza? I already ordered pizza.
Yeah.
So they're like smashed, and she's got
the tie around her head.
Yeah, which
is that's how you can tell.
Yeah, that's how they're drunk.
Yeah, yep.
And I forget exactly what he says, but he's just like, "Honey, I'm drunk. I'm wasted. I love you, honey." After which he's just like, "Let's make love."
Fuck me.
And they do. And we proceed to see the exact same scenes that we saw like 20 minutes
ago. Because
it's literally the exact same sex scene.
But what's sad about it is they absolutely still film those separate scenes. It's not like they use the same ones. They put Lisa through it again.
So, yeah, Lisa's indignity has to occur twice in this.
Poor Lisa. Pour one out for Lisa, everybody, if you're listening.
Yeah, so anyway, after which, cut to the next day. Or
there's no timeline in this movie.
So yeah. We're visiting at the house an indeterminate amount of time after Lisa has had sex with Tommy. And she's like, they're like talking about hot goss, right? So the mom is just like, yeah, I've got breast cancer. And Lisa's like,
I got the results of the test back. I definitely have breast cancer. But it's never mentioned again.
Well, and the way she segues into that, she's like, my brother's trying to take my house and I'm dying. And she's like, you're not dying, mom. She's like, well, I have breast cancer. And then Lisa's like, I don't want to talk about this right now.
Don't bother me with your boring old people problems.
Yeah.
She also,
which is really sad because like that, you know, it's like they sort of show in The Disaster Artist, but just like the shooting conditions were not good for anybody. So that happened. And it's like this, like, and she's like a really nice old lady. Like they talk about it. It's like, why are you even filming this movie? It's like, you know, just need something fun to do or whatever. So yeah, this nice woman is like, why are we doing this? And the script wasn't like available, like the full script wasn't available to everybody for shooting. They only got like the pages they were supposed to see, and like the whole thing was like no one was allowed to see it except for like Tommy, I think, is what happened. So everybody was really confused about what was going on.
Yeah, you didn't want to give away all secrets. Anyway, so mom drops a bomb, and then friends come over.
Well, hold up, because this is where the lies start from Lisa, where she's like, Tommy.
And I think it's funny too. She says that, and it's like, you know, we know that that's not true, but her mom's like, so he's rich.
Did I not?
What's a little domestic abuse? Money. Okay, he's got money.
I mean, it's not like he left a mark.
Yeah,
on
every time Lisa, you know, she's obviously lying, but she tells other people about like he hit me. It's like, okay, and I just think people's just reactions to it are so bad.
Poor Lisa. Oh man. Problem. Again, an indeterminate amount of time later. It's the apartment, which is apparently a revolving door for anybody who wants to go in, because Lisa's friends show up and they proceed to, like, have sex in it. The thing is, though, the guy in that scene is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, he's making these, like, little kid faces while she's, like, taking off his sweater, like,
he's just like, his mouth all agape.
Yeah, like, he looks like a 12-year-old boy about to have sex. Like, it's just the most awkward thing
he's
you've
just,
ever seen
oh boy,
life.
Oh boy. Well,
and then, like, the way that she takes off his sweater, he, like, bring his arms up like a little kid.
Yeah, like it's like, Michelle, you need to get rid of this guy. Like, and he eats cake. Like, she like tries to feed him cake later or something, and like the way he chews and like eats it, it's just like there's frosting like all over his face, like his mouth and stuff. And I was like, are you 12 years old? What is your deal, sir?
Lisa and Claudette come home, and they catch them canoodling or something like that, whatever it is that they're
they
doing.
Were spotted canoodling.
Yeah, they're, I don't know, it's like anyway, everything in this movie is really terrible and awful.
When you weren't home, John, I would just go to your house with my many male suitors and we would just canoodle away. Well, I just knew we were such good friends, I'd be allowed to do that.
Of course.
Fine.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, it was fine.
No, you had absolutely my permission to do that. Yeah, that's a normal thing for people to do.
I mean, on your stairs, on your bed.
I'll kill you. that's worse than these Cinnabon delights. Claudette finds the dude's underwear, which came off at some point. I can't remember when it came off. But she, like, gives it to him.
And they're just like, oh, you.
It's funny, funny, funny.
Friends, am I right?
Yeah, so we're again establishing that Tommy is a very generous person with a kind heart who lets his friends come over and have sex in their apartment whenever they want.
Just like John.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing I do. For sure.
You're so kind.
Thanks. I know I am. I don't know how anybody could hurt me. After this is like my favorite movie, which is the Denny scene, the Denny drug scene. Okay, so
it's all leading up to this.
Absolutely none of this was set up. However, we learned some backstory about Denny, namely that he's a drug dealer, or was trafficking drugs or purchasing drugs for some purpose. Either way, so he's on this rooftop, right? And angry looking guy who's like the best actor.
He's also the best looking, arguably, in the movie.
But you know, Buffalo Bill.
Bridget.
Even over Greg Sestero.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, it'll make you excited. He's actually an Olympian. And like a public speaker, he really committed.
Is the best actor in the movie.
Yeah, like the only talented person in this. So Denny's on the roof. He's like playing basketball or something on the roof, like people do. And this really angry guy comes up the stairwell. And he's like, "Where's my fucking money, Denny?" And Denny's just like, "I don't know. I'm gonna get it to you." And then he like pulls out a gun. And he's like,
"And he's like, it'll be here in 5 minutes." "Where's my fucking money?" It's like, "Where from?"
After which.
Uber.
This scene's really funny too, because like the way it's edited, people just show up in the shots without, they'll just pop up out of nowhere, like you don't see them come up or anything, it's just like no one's there, and then the next shot is they're standing right behind someone. It's really strange, but it's really funny.
So Chris R crying,
because I like to call him Chris-er.
So Chris R is like holding a gun to him and he's just like, "Where's my fucking money?" And then Mark and Tommy somehow show up, and then they steal Chris R somehow.
Chris-er.
And they teleport Lisa there.
Proceed to come up, and they're like interrogating Denny.
Right, because Tommy and someone else takes Chris-er.
Mark,
yeah. Tommy
at gunpoint. Like, that's not also obviously dangerous.
Start asking Denny what he's into.
Hang on just a second. Tommy Wiseau dresses like he's in a 90s boy band video with his pants coming off.
For all those things in his pockets.
Yeah. Look at his pockets right here. Anyway. Okay, so Claudette and Lisa are interrogating Denny, right? And they're just like, "What kind of money, Denny? What kind of money did you owe him?" And he's just like, "I don't know." And he's ugly crying. It's just a really wholesome moment that I love to watch over and over again.
Kind of money.
Pesos.
What kind of drugs?
You have some rubles, Danny?
Yeah, so they're all like berating. They're all berating poor Denny, and they're telling him like what a garbage human being he is. And then Mark and Tommy come back, and they're just like, how could you do this? How could you be selling drugs? And then the scene ends.
Poor Danny. And then the next day.
Yeah, and then next episode in... wait, edit this out. What happens next?
I did not.
Is that what happens?
Mm-hmm. This is like one of the most iconic scenes. Because it's like, he has... And in real life, it took him like 3 hours to do this, like these like three lines of dialogue. And they do like a really funny version of like in The Disaster Artist where it's like, I hit her. No, you didn't. You want to change the line? Like, just like, yeah. And it's like, it's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Really sad story.
See, Tommy laughs at domestic abuse.
Yeah, like the story that he tells is like, oh, I know a girl who had a dozen guys and one of them found out about it, beat the shit out of her.
He does his laugh.
Up in a hospital. And Tommy's like,
because they have like a conversation on the roof about like, do you think girls would cheat on guys? Yeah, and it's like, Tommy's like, you should find yourself a lady. And he's like, yeah, I should. Maybe I do already. And it's like, oh, okay.
And then Denny comes up, right? And then they have this like weird heart to heart
about
Denny like wanting Lisa sex.
Sometimes I just touch myself at night and I think about her.
I think about kissing her and I love her. And sometimes I take my Lisa job.
If Lisa says she's missing that dress that you gave her, don't tell her that I have it, because I don't. Why would I?
But he takes it so well.
Yeah, so Tommy Wiseau is like absolutely not disgusted by any of this, which even though he just like said something that's like the verbal equivalent of one of these Cinnabon delights.
Destiny just come out, he basically is like, oh, you're like part of our family. So it's okay that you love us, but you can't love us.
Yeah, that's exactly what it says. Like, he's just like, and if you need anything.
Real heart, real father, son. But the son has the hots for mom kind of talk.
What happens next?
I think it's gal pal time, and then Tommy comes in after. Because Lisa's like, I love Mark. I don't love Tommy. He hit me. I think she actually, when she tells Michelle, I think Michelle's the only person that's like, are you okay? Everybody else is like, so? Yeah, she's like, are you okay? That doesn't sound like him.
But he's so good.
He's got so much money and he buys you gifts. We're very good friends.
I come in here regularly with my boyfriend.
Lisa's, oh, I love Mark.
So Lisa's just like, I don't care about Tommy Weenie anymore. I love Mark. which is exactly what I would do if I was trying to bilk somebody out of their money.
And they just have like gal pal time. She's like, and they're like very different personalities. Like, Michelle's like, I could never do that. You live your life so different from me.
Well, and she's like, I'm sleeping with Mark. And she's like, wow, you're kind of a huge slut.
Yeah, that's
anyway, see you next Tuesday. And then she just leaves. And then,
oh, yeah, because
Tommy's just there.
Tommy is like, sup.
We're talking about our periods, like, okay?
And she's like, it was girl talk.
I just told you. and Tommy's upset, obviously, that Lisa's been telling everybody that he hit her. After which they have this like it's this famous argument where he's just like, you should tell me everything.
Oh yeah, and then he goes, yeah, do you understand life? Well, do you? And she's like, why are you so hysterical? He's like screaming in her face about it.
Yeah. And he keeps pushing her down like on the couch.
Yeah, every time she stands up, he's like, get fuck back down there.
Also, this is I think my least favorite Lisa outfit.
Yeah,
so far.
She doesn't have the shoulders for a halter top.
Also, yeah, and no. Like she.
You know what? Not all of us.
Please wear what you like to wear.
Halter top.
That's okay. I'm not shaming.
No, she's fine. She's right. Fine, but I think she needs something with more support. You know, she's looking a little, you know, like the girls need to be.
But anyway, so she stomps upstairs.
And then they go play football in an alley.
And then they have... in the alley, yeah, they have bro time.
You know where I go when I'm real mad and I need to think about stuff?
The alley.
The alley to go play football with my bros.
And this is where Tommy's my like, adult I gotta show my bros. Guns, so I need to wear a sleeveless shirt.
That's gross. Okay, so nothing, literally nothing happens in this scene except we get the guy who was acting like he was 6 years old getting a blowjob. Like, literally recounting word for word what happened in the scene that we watched 15 minutes ago.
Also, yep. He's got frosted tips, and he should be killed because
and
of that.
Because
also... it is not the 90s. It is 2002.
I don't know. That, I feel like that was still normal for early
2000s. I don't know.
Frosted tips were still a thing. Like, I'm sure people were still listening to Sugar Ray.
It's douchey, and it is Sugar Ray-esque, and it should be destroyed.
I blacked out.
It's a very extreme reaction, and it's like...
Okay, so next day... Claudette and Lisa come home for like a hot second. Lisa basically proceeds to say that she doesn't love Tommy and that she's in love with Mark. And then Claudette is just like, well, I don't know why you're doing any of this when you have a sugar daddy. And then they leave. So they come in, Lisa says that like she's cheating on Tommy, and then they leave.
Yeah, and Tommy's just like creeping in the stairwell.
I just, because when he's in the stairwell, he just talks to himself. He's like, I know what I'll do. I'll record everything, and then no one can say that I did her.
Okay, so this is a fun fact. Tommy actually did this to people. He carried around little tape recorders, and he would like put them in places. He would like record all of his phone conversations so he could listen to them later. And I guess Greg Sestero like caught him doing it, and he was just like, "Please don't do that."
He's like Dwight Schrute. He just always has recording devices
basically
on hand.
So he's just like, I will show them. And he, like, hides a tape recorder in the room, and that's it. And there's enough for it for, like, I guess a whole month.
Just conveniently
and then just
right
his
there.
Face when he walks out, he's like, hey.
Yeah, like, he's so proud of himself. So who's literally the worst therapist on earth. So he's talking to Peter about his, like, girl problems. Peter's like,
girl problems.
He's like, I haven't gotten my period yet. Is it too late?
Menopause. He's talking to him about menopause.
What kind of girl problems you have at Bridget?
Yeah, like his period is starting to be like really like inconsistent, like different part times of the month, you know, and like we've all been there,
haven't we?
I hate it when I have a surprise period.
Knock knock, who's there?
Why doesn't she stay somewhere else?
Aunt Flo's in town. Simon. They said that Aunt Flo's in town and she's a real bitch. I was like, oh. Honestly, I thought it was like that they had an aunt named Florence. I was like, oh. Why are they staying at your place then? She should get a hotel or something.
I wish I could make it stay at a hotel.
No, Will. It's my period.
Oh, no.
I remember my reaction was, oh.
Oh. Yeah, you should kick that bitch out.
Make that bitch get a hotel.
Yeah, give her a hotel or something.
Just start screaming at your body. Fuck off! Go get a hotel! Go stay at the Best Western downtown!
Get a hotel!
Get out of my body! Okay. So Peter the psychologist is the worst therapist on earth. And Tommy's like, you know, like, why do women cheat? And Peter the psychologist is just
because
like,
they're sluts. Those,
yeah,
that's
basically.
His response.
Yeah, like he has this like really misogynistic response. And then he's just like, well, why don't you just talk to Lisa about it? And we saw that worked out earlier, so that's a really good strategy. Afterwards Mark comes over. Oh yeah, Greg is about ready to kill psychologist guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's also wearing all denim in this scene.
I know that does it for you.
Does it?
I mean, he's a regular Levi's Strauss model.
You're telling me that the Canadian suit doesn't do it for you.
Canadian
depends
tuxedo.
On what Canadian,
so.
You, excuse me, whatever.
Depends on what Canadian is in it.
Oh, we also got backstory on Tommy and Lisa's relationship, how they first met. It's the most boring story on earth.
Yes, he basically says, I saw her in the hotel.
And then she bought dinner.
Thor says, hi. And I think she's nice. and then we date.
Okay, so
lucky
after
viewers,
that scene, then
it's my favorite. They're at a tuxedo fitting because Tommy is getting married.
Yeah,
have we established that before?
No, the only way it's been established is like my future wife, with no, like this whole movie, there's just no time frame for any events. So sure, it could have been months later,
and they're all at Tommy's house.
Also, everybody's tuxedo looks like shit.
And then they go out and play football.
Yeah.
But before that, Mark comes in all clean shaven.
Yeah.
There's like a long take on it too. Like it's just like, look at his face now.
Like that's supposed to make him more attractive. Right.
And then they play football in their tuxedo?
Yep. Then they play football in their
tuxedo. Yeah. And he's like, I'm done.
Peter, the worst psychologist, falls down. And then they're like, well, that's over.
And he's out of the movie.
Well, and all they say, they're like, yeah, all they say is like, Peter, you're so clumsy. Anyway, let's go.
He never shows up for the rest of the film.
Got a lot of internal bleeding you didn't see.
The injuries he sustained in that fall.
He took a long, hard fall.
The next few scenes are like reestablishing Tommy and Greg Sestero's like friendship. We have a client who just did some bad things.
Business.
Anyway, how's your sex life?
And then Greg Sestero is just like, well, yeah, tell me about it. And then Tommy's just like, no, I can't talk about it. Like it's like a HIPAA violation or something.
Yeah.
And then he's like, anyway, how is your sex life?
Is that not how people greet each other? That's what we always, how we always greet each other. It's like, oh, hey, how's your sex life? What's up, slut? Getting that pussy pounded?
Yeah, good transition because literally Lisa does get hers.
Yeah.
Mark is just a I like to keep my pants on kind of guy.
Pants do not come off.
Pants don't come
Nobody
off.
Nobody takes baby's pants off.
Exactly.
He's a never mood.
Oh, for sure.
He's a never dude.
He's got cutoffs underneath.
Yes.
He's got his modeling career to think about, you know?
Yeah.
He can't shame himself on film.
Right.
He's Tobias.
Okay, yeah. So then it's sex scene number four between Mark and Lisa.
Yeah.
And again,
for 2 minutes.
It's actually a soft core porn movie.
Yeah.
There's not much to show.
Any sex scene with Mark, they go to hard blur. Any sex scene with Tommy, they like zoom in and they crisp it up a little bit.
Make sure to get my ass. Which is, by the way, is an actual thing that he demanded on. Like, he needed his naked body film.
Mark and Johnny goes play football together.
Well, they do a fun hybrid that I think everyone should try, which is they jog and throw a football at the same time.
It's a really novel exercise.
Like, there's, like, this guy in the background of that scene. He's just standing, staring into the bushes in the back. Like, just, like, some random person. And I'm really now intrigued about what's going on with this person. Is there a body back there? What are you doing, sir? He's like, look at these dumb-dumbs playing football. He's just, like, hysterically, like, laughing to himself.
This is the most ridiculous scene.
He's like, no.
Then,
do you have a permit to film here? Oh, you don't? I can do whatever I want.
Oh, and they're getting ready for Tommy's birthday party, I think, which is that night. So I don't understand why everybody is like coming and going before the party. It makes absolutely no sense. So Michelle is here to help her set up for the party, and then she'll be back later to attend said party. Anyway. So they're just talking about Lisa being a giant slut.
He's such a good guy.
Oh, yeah. And also to say that everybody really likes Tommy. And he's a nice
guy.
Yeah,
he's a really...
He's such a good guy.
He's a good
guy. Such a good guy.
She's non-traditional student.
Michelle's supposed to be in college, and she's like a mom, like a 44-year-old. Right.
Yeah, she's actually the oldest person on set besides Tommy.
cut back to Tommy and John, or and Mark running again?
Yeah.
Yeah, running and throwing the football.
More football time.
So, okay, so let's recap this. Tommy and Mark were playing football in the park, after which Mark left
like a Dr.
to go
Seuss
make
book.
Out. After which Mark left to make out with Lisa for a minute, and then left again to go jogging with Tommy.
Yeah, what was Tommy doing? It's like, I need a...
Tommy's like, hey, Tommy, I left something in your house. You wait out here for a second. I'm going to go fuck your future wife. And then we're going to do this again.
So later on, Lisa's still getting ready for the party. Michelle has left, even though...
Isn't this the one, too? Sometimes the Claudette, like, the way she talks about stuff, I'm just like, what planet do you live on where this would be acceptable? Because she's like, you know my friend, Janet, Well, she's trying to buy a house, and I asked Tommy to pay for the down payment, but he said no. It's awkward. It's like, why would you ask this man to pay for a down payment of your friend's house? Like, why do you, is it because he's so generous? Is that it? He's got so much money. He's so nice. So I was just like, Claudette, money. Stop.
Michelle is the worst friend ever. Oh, you're a real slut. Okay, anyway, I'll see you later. And then she's like, oh, you still have to set up.
Maybe she went to go set up tables outside or something.
What's her purpose? She didn't. She's a bitch.
Right. So fast forward to the birthday party, which is the most awkward thing on earth again. So they show up.
Everyone's there, but Peter.
He's in a coma at the hospital. Yeah,
Peter's died of a
he sustained injury.
What was his name?
Triggered an aneurysm, and he is now dead.
His name, the new friend, is.
Okay.
It's not Peter. Mm-hmm. Steven.
We just call him new friend. Oh, Steven.
Steven.
Okay, so Tommy comes home and it's all dark, and then, you know, he turns on the lights and it's a surprise birthday party, and it goes on for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, they're very open with their affair.
Lisa is noticeably flirting with Mark. Like, she's basically like sitting on his dick the whole time. Yeah.
They're just eye fucking the shit out of each other.
Lisa's like doing the little like.
Yeah. She's just pointing at her mouth and sticking her tongue to her cheek.
She's like shoving things down her throat and gagging on
them and then giggling.
A really big piece of their absurdly small cake. Yeah, so she's basically just like writing his dick the whole
party
scene. Yeah, that's right. I was gonna say movie, but that's also true, I suppose.
Also true.
Anyway, after which we see like an awkward scene of Michelle.
There's like, yeah,
boyfriend in a 30-year-old man's body
eating cake without any utensils.
He is like a big tot, essentially.
Because like the way he eats, he's like
mouth agape.
Do you think she likes that in bed? Like, that's why she's dating him.
He's gross. Oh no.
Lisa also
maybe
he just gets in there.
He's like going down on her. He's like
when they were having sex in. Not their house earlier. He like put something on her chest and went om nom 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 on it. So I'm pretty sure
sex
experience.
I'm pretty sure that's a really common move for straight men. Not that I would know, but
so I'm gonna put this little grape on your chest. Om nom nom.
Oh, did he say pussy? I knew it. I just know. I have the sense.
Incredible.
It's like, I know what you said. I could tell.
He said that. I knew Mary was going to say it.
I said pushy. Like, she's so pushy with her love.
She has this fun trick that whenever she wants to fuck Mark, she just tells everybody to go outside real quick. Yeah, like she's like, all right, everybody, let's go outside for some air. And everybody leaves, and then she proceeds to, like,
Steven.
To have sex with Mark. After which, their very good friend, whom we have never seen before, shows up. Steven comes up. Doing, don't you know you're ruining our friendship? And she's like, I don't see how that's any of your business. And then he's like, I feel like I'm sitting on a nuclear bomb!
Which sounds very unpleasant.
And after which, it's been made very apparent to Tommy that Lisa's cheating on him with Mark, and they proceed to have like a giant blowout fight, and the chicken noise comes back. This is number three. They actually get into like a fist fight. And then Tommy says one of my favorite lines where he's just like, don't touch me, motherfucker. Okay, so before the fight, Lisa has told everybody that she's pregnant for some bizarre reason that I don't understand.
Because that's how women get you.
They announce that they're expecting.
Which they're not.
And then does she like...
She's like, we're going to have a baby sometime. It's like 2 years and she hasn't given birth yet.
We're expecting in 4 years.
Dancing, and that's what sets Tommy off. After which Lisa just proceeds to like be horny over Mark the whole time. So there's like this dancing scene where Mark and Lisa are dancing and Tommy like
But they're like really close and they're like nuzzling each other.
After which Tommy Wiseau is basically just like, what the fuck are you doing? Stay away from my girlfriend. And then Mark is just like, well, if you kept your girl satisfied, she wouldn't come to me.
Which is in every cheating scene ever.
Well.
Yeah. Don't touch me.
So they get into this like shoving fight, and it's just like a high, and Tommy says, don't touch me, motherfucker.
And then they try to fight, and then like everybody holds them back.
Literally everyone in the room waits till they go at each other to be like, no, don't do that. And then they immediately all let them go again, like, oh, we're cool. And then they jump at each other. And we're cool. I'm cool.
And then everybody leaves. He's like, I'm fed up with the world. Everybody's betrayed me.
And that's the end
that
of the party.
That was me in high school. I'm fed up with this world. Everyone's betrayed me. Yeah.
That was me after the Cinnabon delays, but we've been over that before.
Yeah, so basically everyone clears out of the party, and Mom comes out for, I think, her final scene, and she says,
I'm dead.
I cleaned up the kitchen, so you don't have to worry about that.
Oh, yeah, she's just like, this is going to blow just, over. You're going to be fine.
I don't know. I felt like she was like,
every mom
I did that. Yeah, exactly. Like when your mom comes over and cleans your house,
but you didn't ask her to,
or nor want her to. But
don't
then,
touch so that goes, motherfucker, I said to my mom.
Okay, this is my second favorite line of the film. Is when Lisa knocks on the bathroom door that Tommy has barricaded himself in. And she's just like, when are you going to come out? And he's just like, in a few minutes, bitch.
That was also Will and me when we lived together. Remember? We only had one bathroom. When are you going to come out? And Will was like, in a few minutes, bitch.
Which, so what Lisa decides is a real good idea while Tommy is locked in the bathroom is to give Mark a call. A little ring-a-ling.
Oh, yeah. And then she tries to have like phone sex with him.
While Tommy's, like, listening from the other side of the bathroom door.
And he's got a recorder.
Also, on the phone call, real quick, like, Mark and Lisa, when they talk, like, they say some lines, but then when Tommy plays it back later, some lines are in there that they never say, yeah. Which I think is funny. And Mark is like, come upstairs, I want your body, baby. I don't like this guy anymore. You should ditch him. And she's like, you're right, I'm gonna come up, we're gonna bang.
I'm going to do it right now, and we're going to describe it as we do it, so that the recording we don't know about sounds really good.
So this is when the payoff happens from that recording device that we saw Tommy put in his house before. And he plays back the conversation. The conversation is, like, inaccurate. Like, that's not what they just said, literally. After which, he's just like, you betrayed me, bitch! And he says, Lisa's just like, I'm leaving you.
And he says, fine, get out of my life.
And then this is the best, like, house-destroying scene since Citizen Kane. So he proceeds to, like, completely destroy his house, and it's, like, the funniest thing you'll ever see in your life. If you never, ever see another scene from this movie, watch this scene. So he's, like, destroying everything in his house. He, like, throws his TV out the window, destroys his bedroom, and then he finds the red dress that he bought Lisa at the very beginning of the movie, and he, like, humps it.
I forgot about that
It's disgusting.
I blocked that part from my mind.
And then he grabs a gun? Anyway, so he's humping the dress, and he's got his gun, and then he's just like, wait, what does he say? What's his last words?
God forgive me.
He knows he's being pervy.
And then he shoots himself, but that's not the end of the movie. Lisa not. And Mark come back up. They see his, like, lifeless body and, like, his, like, the blood pooling, like, underneath his head. And he's like, is he going to pull through?
Yeah. Is he dead?
Are you okay?
It's the scene in Boondock Saints when they shoot the cat and the cat is completely obliterated. And it's really sad. Way sadder than the ending.
And Rocco's just like, is he dead?
It's like a Scary Movie 3 where, yeah. Like...
That's what I think of.
Oh my god, are you okay? And then they're just sad, but Lisa uses it as a moment to touch Mark. She's like, oh, now he's
I'm so sad. I'm so sad.
Well, because he's like, Mark's got blood all over his hands. And then Lisa's like, oh my god, is he dead? And then he's like, yes, he's dead. He's like, you did this. I actually have no personal responsibility over my actions at all. It's all your fault.
Yeah, he like recoils in disgust from her. Like, he didn't have any agency for this entire movie.
Yeah.
And then, like, Denny comes up out of nowhere, too.
Well, before Denny, Lisa uses this as a perfect moment to be like, well, I guess we can be together now.
Plan B.
Oh, no.
So do you still want us to have sex? Because we were just gonna, so.
Explain why Denny got there so fast. I love how Denny comes up, and he's literally the only one in the room who does care.
He's in a better place.
And then Denny's just like, leave us. I need to be alone.
Leave me with his body.
Yeah, so Mark is like, peace out. Lisa's gonna go, and then Denny is just gonna be like hovering over his dead body, taking off his tie.
I love it because everyone left, and then suddenly they're all back again.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, is he still dead?
They're like, maybe we shouldn't have left the slow kid with the dead body.
Is that possible, by the way? I feel like.
What? Coming back to life? Jesus did it.
Okay, well.
He went to bed dead. He woke up alive.
Happy birthday, JC. And that's the end of the room.
That's literally how it ends. So, what do we rate this movie? Okay, also, are we rating it ironically, or are we, like...
I think we're rating it...
I think we should rate it on... Rating. Yeah.
I mean,
as, like, a technical film, this is, like, a one. Yeah. Obviously, this is not a good movie.
Yeah, no, this is about...
but enjoyability.
Enjoyability. We definitely enjoy it.
I'm not entirely sure if it's, like, technically a one... just because, like, there were actual professionals who worked on this film. It's just,
yeah.
Like,
there's a it's a three.
I was going to say a three. Yeah, that's a good, like, one.
It's a two or a three.
It's not the worst bad movie ever filmed. Like, it still looks like shit and all that, and I get that. But there are some shots that are okay.
Well, you could have less than a one. You could have, like, 0.5. You could have a zero, you know?
But I'm rating it on the amount of enjoyment that it gave me.
Yep.
And for me, I give it 10 tiny cakes out of 10 tiny cakes.
Oh, I was going to do tiny cakes. Damn it.
You can do 10 tiny cakes. You can do 10 spoons.
Hold on.
It's where I aim. Just do the scene.
I'm going to give it... 8 awkward, unnecessary sex scenes out of 10 awkward, unnecessary sex scenes.
Yeah. Like,
sex scenes.
I think it's, like, just one of these, like, bad movies that offers you, like, a glimpse into the person who made its mind in a way that other bad movies don't.
Sure. Yeah. I would give it... 7 slinky little red dresses out of 10.
Why only 7?
I mean, maybe I'm not giving it 10 out of 10, John.
Why not?
Okay, you could just get over that right now. Okay. I don't know.
So you're giving it 7 Cinnabons out of 10.
Yeah. I mean, like, even as a plot of, like, a good movie, I would not enjoy this plot because it's so ridiculous.
Hold on.
And it's too plain.
You're telling me that you don't like rom-coms. Is that a fact?
This isn't a rom-com.
More or less.
He kills himself in the end.
Well, I mean, that's...
Romeo and Juliet was not a rom-com.
Okay.
It was
watched the movie and you laughed at it. And it features romance.
But it's not supposed to be funny. It's not really supposed to be romantic.
Or is it?
It's not.
It's not a romance.
It's not.
It's bullshit.
It is not...
Also, he sounds like Tommy Wiseau sounds like one of the trainers from the gym. Will knows who I'm talking about.
The stuff he would say, I would be like, that sounds like a Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, thing. He says, like, I wonder if it's just like an Eastern European thing. If I don't know, but
what about you, Mary? What's your rating?
I will give it 8. Adopted 30-year-olds. That you're financially supporting out of 10.
Oh, that's good.
Adopted 30-year-olds that you're financially supporting.
Will?
I give it 8 scotch glasses out of
10.
Oh,
yeah. That's a good one. That's
a good rating. 7 frosted tips out of 10.
Or how many Chinese Teds do you give it?
11 billion.
Watch it with a
friend. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't be like Kimmy, who just watched it by herself.
I hope you're listening to this.
Friends don't let friends watch The Room alone.
I mean, you can watch it alone, but, like, the first time you watch it, you have to watch it with somebody, or else it's not going to be fun.
So what are we doing next week, Mary? What do you think? Going back to DCOMs?
So next week, we're going to get back to DCOMs. I know you guys missed it.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Beth.
Yeah.
Coming in.
If anybody else has any fun or bad movies, they don't say Baby's First Christmas or whatever, but any other bad movies they would like us to watch and talk about, let us know. God, let us know Hallmark movies.
Why not? They're just as good as these DCOMs.
I
bet you would like to watch...
They're not. These are DCOMs are better.
I would like to watch the Twilight movie because I think it's really fun. Yes. My name is Bridget.
That's a good one, Bridget. Yeah.
Oh, okay, Bridget.
I think it's Fifty Shades of Grey. I think it's so
okay.
I love...
What's the sexiest part?
I love Bridget. Edward's like... Climb on me, spider monkey. No, he says, hold on tight, spider monkey. This is not shit.
Oh, I can't hear you. Perfectly.
I don't know. Who is this? This is pretty. That's looking over. It's just an imposter. It's not me. There is only one Bridget.
Get to kill the imposter. It's the only way.
Not because it's good. Neither was the room.
That's how you know it is not Bridget. It is not Bridget.
Okay. All right. So thanks for joining us, John and Beth. Everybody. God. We're trying to say goodbye on the podcast. I'm talking about Arby's.
Bridget, I'm going to shut up now.
Bridget, yeah, you heard Bridget say goodbye. Beth and John, goodbye. Thanks for joining us. Join us next week for Alley Cat Strike for our DCOM. We're getting back to you. Should. You could. I hope you guys like bowling, because that's all the movie's about.
So, yeah. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Yeah.
No, stupid.